can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is October 21st. Can you believe it? October 21st, 2018. And today's topic is the antibiotic hoax. Yep, you heard it right. H-O-A-X. Antibiotic hoax. They never did work. They are not working. And they will never work. And so today's show, we are going to talk about the antibiotic hoax. First, we're going to check in here with our Facebook. There you go. Hi, Facebook. And then we've got Chat Tango people over here. Those of you who'd like to chat during this broadcast, you can chat it up with some pretty chatty folks at healingwithdrdaniels.chattango.com. And if the computer will let me into the chat room, I might even be able to chat with you during commercials, possibly. All right. Antibiotic hoax. This is so amazing that it's absolutely shocking. And in medical school, we were introduced to the concept that medicine was not sorcery or voodoo or witchcraft because we could look under the microscope and identify the causative organism. And because we could identify the organism and show you under the microscope, there it is, that we're not making it up. It's not a fantasy, that this is for real. That was one thing we were taught. And I cannot tell you how much confidence and how that really eased my mind to know that modern medicine, as I had suspected, was based on reality, what really was, what existed. And so Leeuwenhoek, in case those of you who are historians like to keep up with this stuff, invented the microscope, were able to see microbes, like, oh my God, there they are. That is the cause. So that's the first thing. The first thing is identification of the organism. That's number one. So once organisms could be identified, it was like, whoa. We, our doctors, we're different. We are for real. We're not just making it up. You don't just have cooties. This is the case. Okay, so identify the organism. Then, that's not enough. Koch, our favorite friend. I love Mr. Koch. Spell K-O-C-H, for those of you who like to do research, K-O-C-H. And they're called postulates. They're not called rules, because if you look under rules, you wouldn't find it. So they bury this information so you can't find it, those of you who like to do research. So it's Koch's postulates, P-O-S-T-U-L-A-T-E-S. Why is it so important to conceal Koch's postulates from you? Because if we use Koch's postulates, then the antibiotic hoax is uncovered immediately. So Koch said, whoa. We are real scientists. We are so scientific. We are such great scientists that we have some rules, and we follow these rules, and this is why we know what we know, and the witch doctors and the witchcraft and the voodoo people don't know anything. This is why we tell you, you've got it. By golly, you've got it. So, let's take a look. There's four rules. One, the microorganism must be found in abundance in everyone suffering from the disease, but should not be found in healthy people. This is important. The microorganism must be found in everyone who's suffering. He says all. There's not some, not most. Everyone who is suffering from the disease and should not, that means it should be absent, in healthy organisms. I said, by golly, that sounds pretty good to me. Then number two, the microorganism must be isolated from a diseased organism and grown in pure culture. That means grown by itself with no other organisms present. All right. Then the cultured organism, should cause disease when introduced into a healthy organism. Now, this sounds pretty cruel, doesn't it? However, if we find the microorganism in abundance in healthy people, then that makes rule number three moot, right? So that means that it is present in healthy organisms, in which case this postulate is not fulfilled. All right. The microorganism must be then re-isolated from the inoculated, that means the healthy person who received the bacteria, and identified as being identical to the original specific causative agent. Now, this is airtight. Man, if you got these four postulates proven, boom, you've got cooties or whatever. I mean, it's just saying, you can call it any name you want. So I said, by golly, this is it. This is it. And then, of course, medical students, we cut our teeth on the whole strep throat thing, right? So with strep throat, let's just walk right through this. So the microorganism found in abundance in people suffering from the disease. So you got a sore throat, look at it, covered with pus, swipe it, oh my God, positive for strep. So the organism is found, it's found in abundance. So, but it's not found in all people suffering from sore throat, by the way. We said, now we're going to let that slide. We're going to let that slide. But wait, strep is found in abundance in a lot of people who do not have sore throats. Oops. Toxic postulate number one, not identified. Not fully satisfied, but partially satisfied, because some people with sore throats do have a positive strep culture. And so we medical students were consoled that we kind of satisfied postulate number one. Okay, number two, the microorganism must be isolated from a diseased organism and grown in pure culture. Well, the throat was swabbed, the strep was identified, and it's grown in pure culture. Got that. The cultured microorganism should cause disease when introduced into a healthy organism. Fail that, right? Because a lot of people have strep and they don't have any symptoms. Their throats are perfectly fine. Thank you. So, number one, kind of satisfied, not really. Number two, satisfied, check that box. Number three, we have to say fail, didn't satisfy. And four, the microorganism must be re-isolated from the inoculated disease experimental host and identified as being identical to the original specified causative agent. So, since the inoculated person did not get diseased, then four couldn't be satisfied. So strep throat only satisfies two. The microorganism identified, isolated, and grown in pure culture. So only, even strep throat, which we consider to be the model of infectious disease, fails to satisfy the scientific criteria for proving that indeed the strep bacterium actually causes sore throats. All right. But that's okay. We satisfied one and a half out of the four postulates. For that, we get a gold star. Introduce penicillin. Yeah. Penicillin. So if you take a person, you found the strep organisms in their throat. The organism, you can do culture sensitivity, is sensitive to penicillin. What would you expect to happen? And the strep causes a sore throat. You would expect that that sore throat would improve, wouldn't you? Scientific evidence. You look it up in Dr. Google. Administration of penicillin for a sore throat does not shorten the duration or severity of the sore throat or its symptoms. But wait. If strep causes sore throat and the antibiotic kills the strep, we figured that out in culture, we have these little sensitivity diffs, then shouldn't removal of the strep with the antibiotic, or killing it, let's say, improve the strep throat? Guess what? It does not. So now we're stuck. We're confused. And this is an incredible, this is the gold standard, by the way, strep throat. It doesn't get any better than this. You think that this model was cherry-picked as a bad one? Oh, no, no, no. Why don't we take a look at hepatitis B? Hepatitis B is caused by a virus. So they tell us. Let's go through Patrick's process. Microorganisms must be found in abundance in all organisms, people suffering from the disease. In strep B, or hepatitis B, that is not the case. The microorganism is never found in anyone suffering from hepatitis B. Shocking, isn't it? Shocking, absolutely shocking. So in other words, the actual virus that causes hepatitis B has never, in modern times, when I say in modern times, I'm just talking about the last 40 years, okay, been isolated from a human being. Now, what they have found is antibodies that would be the footprints of what they believe to be the virus. Oh, I'm sorry, antibodies, which would mean your immune system chasing the footprints of the virus, and the antigen, which is protein fragments that they believe to be the footprints of the virus. Now, you've had a robbery at your house, and the only clue you have are footprints. There is no human being, no body, no perpetrator. You don't have the perpetrator. In fact, good chance the perpetrator left the house, right? So what good is it to spray your house with bullets when the perpetrator is not there? And that's what you're doing when you treat hepatitis B with these antibiotics or drugs or whatever. So what our modern day illness is, hepatitis, Lyme, and AIDS are all identical to this, by the way. The organism has never been identified in the person who's sick. It has never been isolated from a diseased individual and grown in pure culture. And so since it's never been isolated from the individual and grown in pure culture, then it can't cause disease when introduced in a healthy organism because, well, you don't have it. And the microorganism must be re-isolated from the inoculated disease experimental host and identified. Well, this can't happen because the organism hasn't been identified. But now, here's the clincher. The microorganism must be found in abundance in all those who are suffering, not found in healthy organisms. This is absolutely false for all, I'll repeat all infections. And so this is from Wikipedia. So Wikipedia says, however, Koch abandoned the universal requirement of the first postulate altogether. Well, if you don't even have to find the microorganism in the person suffering from the disease, then, how can you establish the microorganism even caused the disease if it's not even present? Right. So when Koch found that there were people who had cholera and no symptoms, and then same with typhoid, and polio, and herpes, and in modern day times, by the way, herpes, AIDS, and hepatitis C, again, these are all bogus illnesses. You have them because the high priest says you have them. So in other words, you can have traces, all the tests for these organisms, tests for traces, not for the virus. If you have traces of these organisms, many people have traces and no symptoms. In fact, the symptomatic state is more dominant than the diseased state. So if having the organism does not cause the disease, and we'll define the disease as a constellation of fixed symptoms, then that weakens your case that the disease causes, that the organism causes the disease. But what about the other thing? What about people who have the disease as constellation of symptoms and no organism? Both cases exist, by the way. So if you can have the organism present and no disease, And if you can have the disease and no organism present, then there's no establishment of causality. Absolutely none. Now, let's go even further. It gets even worse. I know a lot of you out there do a lot of research. Mm-hmm. So you're familiar with the human microbiome. Yes, you're familiar with that. So let's see what's in it. The human microbiome consists of about 100 trillion symbiotic. That means they live in harmony with human beings. And therefore are actually of mutual benefit. The people benefit these microorganisms, and these microorganisms benefit people. Let's take a look and see what's in the human microbiome. Human microbiome. All right. What organisms make up the human microbiome? This should be cute. There we go. Okay, so let's just get this out the way right now. Candida. Healthy people have lots of candida. I like that one. Enterobacter. This is one. People come to me, oh, I have Enterobacter. I'm like, great, you're human. Mycobacterium. That'd be tuberculosis. Neisseria, that'd be gonorrhea. Pseudomonas. Staph aureus. Strep. Are you feeling me? So all of these organisms, and I'm going to put in E. coli because I went to medical school, so I'm familiar with that. Chlamydia is something found in healthy people. Haemophilus. All of these things that people are being given antibiotics to combat are actually bacteria normally found in the human body. This is amazing. This is amazing. So then you have to ask yourself, what is going on here? What are these antibiotics doing? Well, a few things. One, they're making a lot of money. Two, they're part of what has become a very important cultural ritual. And three, they're killing you. They're not killing any antibiotics. They're killing you. They're harming your health. And so literally, like Haemophilus, they are actually creating vaccines against organisms that they're part of the normal, healthy flora. People tell me, oh, Dr. Harris, I have mycoplasma. Guess what? Mycoplasma is part of the normal human flora. This is, you know, and you really got to wrap your head around this. I'm not making this stuff up. Hey, you know, check out Wikipedia. That's been censored by the Illuminati for sure, right? Hey, Wikipedia says this. And there are things, organisms found in the whole body. Some are found in the skin. Some are found in hair follicles. Some are found in the external ear. Some are found in mucous membranes, eyes, gastrointestinal tract, and so on. So the question is, when there's an organism that is perfectly happy and does very well in the intestines, and you find it in the urinary tract, is that an infection? Talk more when we get back.
behave any clearer than you do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and the Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO food, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from the public broadcasting network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has a legal defect. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Doctor, doctor.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're talking about these organisms that your doctor will often do a culture and say, ah, we found it, oh, yes. And most, if not all, these organisms are actually organisms that normally occur in healthy people. But since unhealthy people are selectively tested, then it's not obvious or apparent to the patient that this is just a flim-flam operation. In other words, if everyone walking in the doctor's office got tested for strep, let's just say, a lot of people would end up with positive strep tests who have no symptoms. And then when they get a sore throat, their strep test would either be positive or negative. And they would say, Doc, I have strep in my throat a lot of times and no infection. Now I have an infection and no strep. How can you say strep causes an infection? It would become like immediately obvious to any individual if the person was being tested for strep at every visit. And so since these organisms are present in abundance in healthy people, then and only sick people are tested for them, then it gives the deceptive, false, dishonest impression that these organisms are the cause of the sickness. Now, a lot of you want me to discuss, you know, this person's theory or that person's theory. You don't even need to get that complicated. It is like just that simple. And it is such a scandal that in the medical profession, they're actually discussing this furiously because antibiotics simply are not working. But the truth is, they never worked. And so first they said, okay, we're going to postulate the theory of resistant bacteria. So resistant bacteria is a bacteria that's been exposed to an antibiotic and, of course, gears up to defend itself. Now, what they found is if you take a harmless bacteria, symbiotically living with the human being, helping the human being out, you help me, I help you, yeah, and you expose it to antibiotics, that bacteria will become dangerous and start destroying the host that it was previously living in harmony with and actually kind of helping out a little bit. It would be like you hitting your best friend over the head with a baseball bat. You might not be friends. Just saying. So the theory of resistance had to be put forth to explain why antibiotics don't work. But now, even that theory is kind of wearing thin because antibiotics are not working in many, many cases. And the whole scam is wearing so thin that now we have, I kid you not, this was published in May 2013. This is from the National Library of Medicine, you know, National Institutes of Health.gov, okay? This is what they say. And I'm telling you, this just, this made my mouth just drop open. How they're going to sell this, I don't know, but I'm sure they will, and I'm sure this is going to work. The other ones, the other hoaxes have worked. Why not this one? But the genetic theory of infectious disease. Now, I want you to think about that. You got to think about this one real hard because if it's infectious, how can it spread? I mean, if it's genetic, how can it spread from person to person? How's my coughing on you going to give me your genes? And if the infection is genetic, how's an antibiotic going to help? Antibiotics don't change your genes. And if it's genetic, how's a vaccine going to help? Right? So if you accept the genetic basis of infectious disease, then you got to wipe the slate clean. Every single therapy that has been used medically against infectious diseases then is immediately a hoax. But let's see what they say. The genetic theory of infectious disease. I mean, I just had to say, really? But this scientific paper gives a tremendous amount of information that has been kept from the public. You may not believe in the genetic theory of disease, but this paper totally debunks antibiotics or immunizations or even surgery as a remedy for infectious disease. So let's see what they say. Until the mid-19th century, that would be 1850, life expectancy at birth averaged 20 years worldwide, owing mostly to childhood fevers. The germ theory of disease, that would be Lewin, Hook, and Koch, gradually overcame the belief that diseases were intrinsic. However, around the turn of the 20th century, asymptomatic infection, that means people without symptoms who had these organisms, was discovered to be much more common than clinical disease. I'll repeat that. Well, let me put it in English for you. People having these organisms and being perfectly healthy was discovered to be much more common than people who had these infections and were sick. That in your pipe. That's it.
No, please don't go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Maybe.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we have this government-sponsored study, or certainly government-published. They feel it's legitimate. They've got it on their website. And so what they have determined is that the people without symptoms who have the organism is much, much more prevalent than people who have the organism, you name it, and are sick. Now, in order to get you guys like really scared, they call this a carrier state. This is not really a carrier state. This is simply a state. Because get this, if you have, let's say, strep, you don't have any symptoms, you can give it to someone else and they're not going to have any symptoms either. You're with me? Yes. So what we have is an asymptomatic condition, which doctors are calling symptomatic. When people will show up with symptoms. Oh, let me test you for something that everyone else has, that healthy people have. And then we're going to blame this thing that healthy people have for your sickness and bombard you with drugs. So that scenario fits the data, fits the information. Okay. This observation barely challenged the newly developed notion that infectious diseases were fundamentally extrinsic. So in other words, the infectious diseases are fundamentally caused by external bacteria is false when these bacteria are even more prevalent in healthy people. And this writer of the article says, I'm shocked that this observation hasn't challenged anyone's thinking. Well, how can it challenge anyone's thinking when people are getting pretty darn rich with it? Moreover, inter-individual variability in the course of infection. In other words, I can have strep and have a sore throat one time, and then I can have strep and not have a sore throat another time. So within the individual, their state of sickness or health can vary even though the presence of the organism has not changed. And so then they said that was explained away by emerging immunological theory of infectious diseases. In other words, oh, the person's immune system. Oh, this is where we need to vaccinate. Or, we need immune system modifiers or modulators. And they say best illustrated by the impact of vaccination. And you can read that as the wide use of vaccination. This powerful explanation is, however, only applicable to reactivation and secondary infections. So the first infection causes immunity, supposedly. That's what vaccination is all about. And so once you're vaccinated, or once you've had the infection, you should never get the infection again. We know this is not true, right? How many people have gotten strep throat more than once? It does not account for the inter-individual variability in the course of the first infection during childhood. So population and clinical genetics soon proposed another theory, a germline genetic theory of infectious disease. In other words, germline meaning from birth or from its origin. Over the past century, this idea has gained some support, especially among clinicians and geneticists, but has also encountered resistance. Some people say, well, BS. So the thing to get here is not that the genetic theory of infectious disease is true or false, but that the present theory of infectious disease does not explain infectious disease. In other words, the whole concept of infectious disease is a hoax. Why? Because the same organism causes infection in one person, which would be symptoms, but does not cause infection, we'll call it symptoms, in another person. So infectious organisms as an explanation for sickness doesn't work. And so then the whole branch of infectious disease, the whole branch of medicine, is a bunch of lies. Is just simply not true. So if you're going to an infectious disease expert for anything, then you are voluntarily engaging in a delusion, which is okay. It's okay. Everyone gets one life to live. You get to sort things out however you want. That's good, no problem. But the thing to understand is it is a delusion. It is simply not true that these organisms are the cause of disease. In other words, you can have the organism and not have the disease. You can have the disease and not have the organism. So, yes, there are people who are sick. But is it caused by these different organisms? The evidence says no. The evidence says that infection as a cause of disease is simply not true. So this has encountered resistance among microbiologists and immunologists. Of course it would, because if you use a genetic theory of disease, then the microbiologist becomes irrelevant because he doesn't change your genes. And isolation of the organism is no longer relevant because your sickness is from your genetics. And the immunologist becomes irrelevant because it has nothing to do with your immune system but with your genes. And so all these people would be like seriously unemployed if they decide to believe the genetic theory of infectious diseases. And so what happens, though, in medicine is they trim this theory down so it can fit with all the other theories and everyone still has work. So you still have the infectious theory of disease, so the antibiotics can still be used. People can make money doing cultures and checking what the organism might be. But what they're saying here is checking for the organism is really irrelevant. So we present here the genetic theory of infectious disease and briefly discuss its history and the challenges encountered during its emergence in the context of the apparently competing but actually complementary microbiological and immunological theories. All right, let's put that in English for you. It says, we present here a genetic theory of infectious diseases and briefly discuss its history and how actually we can make money with this theory, and the microbiologists and immunological people can still make money. There's room at the table, the feeding trough, for everyone. We also illustrate recent achievements by highlighting inborn errors, that's genetic, of immunity underlying 8 life-threatening infectious diseases of children and young adults. Now, obviously, what they fail to explain is why is this person with this genetic issue, why would they ever live past childhood, right? So if the average life expectancy was 20 years worldwide due to childhood fevers, how come now the life expectancy at birth is so much better? And genetically, the people, everyone alive today originated in the people who were alive in 1850, right? So mid-19th century, 1850, you could expect to live 20 years. Now the life expectancy is 70-something years, close to 80. And we all came genetically from those people who were alive in 1850. That's just the way humans are made. That's kind of the way we roll. So just the fact that the life expectancy has gone from 20 years to 86 with the same gene pool immediately discards this whole genetic theory. But that's not important. That's not the benefit here. The benefit here is what he says, truthfully, honestly, that totally refutes and devastates the infectious theory of disease. So that's the value of this particular article. Obviously, the genetic basis of infectious disease is bogus. We call it BS. Why? Because the life expectancy and infectious diseases, or diseases caused by infection, have declined drastically in the last 150 years with the same gene pool. But the point is, he goes on to talk about, he very clearly says, most people who have these have these organisms in their body simply don't have any symptoms. So you cannot pinpoint these organisms as a cause of disease. That's not the cause. There's something else. So the therapeutic failure of antibiotics, when I was in medical school, I was totally shocked at people who were admitted to the emergency room with pneumonia. We bombarded them with triple antibiotics, 3 antibiotics at least. We did the cultures, and then when the cultures came back, we would pare down to the 1 antibiotic that was proven by culture to be effective. But wait. In most of those people, the culture showed nothing. Nothing. So how do you get pneumonia? Expert showed pneumonia. Person was coughing. They had fever, productive sputum. No organism identified. Obviously, the person was sick. Since there was no organism identified, working with science here, then their condition is not caused by an organism. So that is what people have really got to get in their heads. And people contact me all the time. And they say, oh, Dr. Daniels, what do I do for an XYZ infection? Oh, Dr. Daniels. What can I do for this infection, that infection? Does turpentine work for babesiosis? Does it work for enterococcus? Does it work for, you name it? Now, I stopped doing cultures of any kind pretty early on in my medical practice because the antibiotics didn't work. So since the antibiotics didn't work, what was the point of doing a culture which would identify the organism and help you pick the antibiotic, right? There's no point in picking the antibiotic if the antibiotic is irrelevant. So what did I start to do? Well, first of all, let me make sure I covered all of our infections. All right, so let's go down the list. So pneumonia, I just told you that when we admitted people to the hospital and we did these cultures, predominantly they were negative. Occasionally they were positive. The progress of the patients receiving these antibiotics, this is top of the line care, you know, first world country, please, they didn't seem to get better. They would perk along, maybe day 4, day 10, seemed like they got better, turned the corner. We really couldn't see where this antibiotic made some big difference. Now, again, any individual person, we gave them all excuses. Well, you know, the organism was not isolated, but we know it's there. Well, that's the witch doctor talking, right? You might as well tell them to check under the bed for the boogeyman. We looked and didn't see it, but it's not. But it's there? No, that's not. It's not science, right? Look, you did the culture. The culture's negative. You're sick, but it wasn't the culture. So what causes pneumonia? What I found in my experience, again, limited experience, only one doctor, what can I say? I don't do research, just observation. Dairy. You take a person with pneumonia, cut out all their dairy, ba-boom. Usually within hours, they're better. Next thing causes pneumonia, a chemical exposure. And there's generally chemicals in the food. The way the swallowing mechanism works is a little bit of chemicals, or when you inhale, if you're inhaling chemicals in the air, they actually cause a direct irritation of the lungs, even of the throat. And this can cause what looks every bit like pneumonia. And finally, toxicity. That's a fancy word for constipation. In other words, the body was not able to dump waste, we'll call it waste, call it what it is, through the bowels or the skin. And so they accumulate in the lungs. And that's it. That's pneumonia. So what's the cure? Not antibiotics. Cure is very simple. You convert all the person's beverages to water, make sure they stop the dairy, give them an enema, cover all of their ribs with Vicks Vapor Rub, and that's it. Give them a dose of turpentine if you want to. But that relieves pneumonia symptoms in hours. And if the person feels like they have some phlegm, but they're just too weak to cough it up, you just lay them over the bed and slide them over so that their head is off the edge of the bed, almost on the floor. And literally gravity will remove the phlegm and mucus and gum from their lungs. And that's it. Pneumonia. Done. Easy. Cellulitis. My experience. So cellulitis is an area of the skin that's red, it's warm, say hot, it's painful, and you can often feel a collection of fluid there, like a boil, cellulitis. And this is generally caused by chemical exposure, bug bites, animal bites, and basically malnutrition. This is a failure to expel waste from the body and your body's attempt to heal. A lot of times your body will actually put the waste in the skin because, again, it can't get it out any other kind of way. And so you just, again, increase the water intake, increase the bowel movements, and usually that alone will clear up the cellulitis. Now, you can soak in a tub with Epsom salts or, you know, do a lot of other things, but bottom line, straightforward, that is it. Urinary tract infection. This is interesting. If you've had a urinary tract infection and you've had cultures, the ones that were positive showed E. coli. What's E. coli? Normal bacteria found in everybody's colon without fail. In fact, the test if human feces are in a water supply is a check for E. coli. If they find E. coli in the water supply, they know that human sewage has entered the water supply. That's how common E. coli is. And so it's not a disease marker when found in the body. So, if E. coli in the bladder, what's going on here? What's going on here is a person is actually constipated. E. coli have entered the bloodstream, and the kidneys are trying, doing their best, they're doing their job, to clean up the blood by dumping this E. coli through the urine. Another route, of course, is the E. coli can track in from the outside, from the skin, if the skin is not rinsed clean of E. coli. So the urinary tract infection is pretty simple. You increase your bowel movements and increase your water intake. You can take turpentine. Turpentine does help. You can take D-mannose. It's a white powder. Take a teaspoon in water every hour until your symptoms subside. But as you can see, there is no place for antibiotics in this treatment regimen. Urinary tract infection. Oh, we got a commercial. We will talk more when we get back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, we're taking a look at many of the common infections and what might be another theory, I won't say infectious illnesses, that are blamed on the person acquiring an infectious organism. And we're looking to see what might be alternative theories and treatments for these. Because what I'm using is really, these are treatments that I have effectively used. And I stopped using antibiotics. I just said, forget it. I am not prescribing another antibiotic. And that was about 1993. I said, forget it. No more antibiotics. And people got so much better results. They got better results. They felt better, and I didn't get these midnight calls about people feeling like they were dying because they were having antibiotic side effect. So for me, it totally changed my medical practice. It made being a solo practice doctor a pleasure because no one on those nighttime calls. So urinary tract infection. So again, these are normal. So E. coli, Klebsiella, pneumococcus, these are all normal bacteria that are present in healthy people. And so if you have a pneumonia and any one of these organisms is present, you might have pneumonia. But the organism is not what caused it, because that organism was there long before you got sick. All right, same with urinary tract infection. But the big problem with urinary tract infections is to urinate, increase your water intake, get rid of the constipation, so there's another route of exit, and more importantly, your toilet paper. Yeah, yeah. Ah, your toilet paper. So if you're a lady and you have recurrent urinary tract infections, switch your toilet paper to the organic chemical-free toilet paper. Even then, what you're going to find is improvement, and you may have to switch to a couple of different chemical-free brands to find one that does not give you those problems. You have upper respiratory infection, which is caused, which is blamed on the flu, is actually chemical inhalations, sluggish liver, and that's pretty much it. You can get rid of it very simply. Brew extra strong ginger tea, put a little bit of honey in there, make it go down easier. Sip that and take some turpentine and castor oil. Boom. Boom, bottom, done. Blood poisoning. This is why people are having fevers and all over their body, and they just feel bad. Answer, drink water and poop. Drink water, poop more, and check out your food. Check out what you're eating. You're putting the stuff in, like, steadily. So the usual source is cheese or milk. Those are the biggies. But basically, these chemicals or organisms are trapped in the blood, and they're not coming out through the intestines or the liver. So have a good poop. And drink a lot of water. I would recommend distilled water or reverse osmosis. Tap water is not a good idea, as it might be the source of your problem in the first place. We're going to commercial, and we'll cover a couple more infections when we get back, and then we'll do questions.
I saw you there, just standing there. I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again. You said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic.